Good evening. Because the church always represents one voice, I'd like us all together with one voice to say the Lord's Prayer, Our Father. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Take a seat. The passion and mystery of Holy Week and Easter. There is so much that we can discuss about. We can only discuss about it just on Christ's life. We can only put emphasis on just one thing, because it is a broad thing that we all cover from. If so, it is also the greatest feast for the Christian world, the death and resurrection of Christ. As a small kid growing up, and when Easter used to come around, I always used to ask my mum, what was Easter about? Mama, tin to Pascha. And my mum, with her little knowledge of theology, used to sort of say to me, O Christoulis esthavrothike ke anastithike. Christ was crucified and he resurrected. Correctly so. But over the years, I had wanted to try and grow out of that Christouli bethane ke anastithike. And I sort of try and sort of see things in a different way. Tonight, I want to try and sort of talk about the passion and the mystery of Easter more on a personal essence of us. How can we relive it? As priests, every year we sort of get excited during this time. At the same time, we also get very scared and nerve-wracking because it's going to be a very long time. It's a week that most of us hope that sort of finishes quickly as priests. But it is a time where we will like the person, the individual. And this is one thing that I want you to have in your mind tonight, as individual, to sort of put preparation about yourself. Forget about family, forget about friends. But let's look at ourselves. Because to live Easter and to sort of celebrate Easter in a way, it is an individual aspect. It is how Christ fits in you. From the very beginning of the gospel, God made the human being in his image and likeness. Therefore, each person that walks along the street is in his image and likeness. Therefore, everybody is a part of God. For this reason, somebody can sort of live Christ and God in his own way. And this way, the church tries to make it relevant to this person how to live the life in Christ. For us, as Orthodox Christians, it is a great time to sort of celebrate. Of course, it is a great time to catch up with friends and reunite during Good Friday and talk about what are you doing. We'll probably see your betrayed enemies at the church and sort of say, geez, I wonder what they're doing nowadays, or sort of not liking to see them at the church. But otherwise, let's try and think what Easter is all about. Although the events are something which happened in the past, the events of Jesus Christ happened 2008 years ago, we must remember that one thing, that we relive Easter every time. The Jews crucified Jesus once. Orthodox Christians crucify him every year, because we want to put emphasis why Christ died. He died for me. Why did Christ resurrect it? He resurrected for me. For this reason, we must always remember that the past events that we celebrate during Holy Week should become present event. We should see ourselves following in the footsteps of Jesus. Remembering what Jesus went through should become relevant to what we are living through. For this reason, during Holy Week, in the church we use the word today. On Palm Sunday we say, today Jesus walks into Jerusalem triumphantly. On Holy Thursday we say, today he is being crucified. And on Anastasi, this is the day of the resurrection. So the past becomes present, remembrance becomes reality. For this reason, everything must be put in today's context. For this reason, whenever we go to church, even on Palm Sunday, we receive a palm because we are hailing him in as a king. For the days, whenever we sort of go to the epitaphio, to Stelisi, we take flowers to his grave. So we participate in the event of Jesus. The moment that the priest puts the crucified cross here on the Holy Thursday night and we see Jesus crucified there, it is not really Jesus we are looking at, but rather an image of ourselves. Each individual person has his own cross, and each individual person must walk with Christ. Therefore, Holy Week is that element that will be able to help us to walk with Christ, able to allow us to reunite ourselves personally with Christ. So how do we lead up to Easter? Of course, each year Easter is celebrated on a different day. This is mainly something that is from the moon, and that also that we have to wait for the Jewish Passover to happen. This year, this weekend coming, which is the 20th, if you go outside at night on Palm Sunday and look at the moon, you should see a full moon. The Jewish people celebrate Passover on the 15th day of the month of Nisan. Nisan is the beginning and the first month of the Jewish calendar. How do they calculate it? They wait for the equinox, when day and night equals 12 hours. And then after that, they wait for the first full moon. Then from there, they calculate from the first full moon as the first day of Nisan. And then on the 15th, which is usually the second full moon, they celebrate their Passover, the starting of the Passover. Therefore, if Christ himself was a Jewish person and he celebrated and he went through the passions during Passover, who are we to change it and to elect another day? For this reason, the Orthodox Church waits and to celebrate the life of Jesus within his own Passover, what Jesus was celebrating. For this reason, the Church recommends, and I put it underlined and bold because some people don't too, as a time to refrain back to their faith. We've got 365 days. Let's try and give this 1 week up for Christ. So, it tries to prepare us physically and mentally for the celebration of Easter. Therefore, it recommends no social activity, such as meeting up for coffee, even meeting up at the vegetarian place, stopping to watch TV, going to the movies, something which you can probably say, but Pater, you know, we're not going to eat there, we're going to be fasting. Stop everything that's socially. Take a time to pick up the Bible from underneath your bed, blow off the dust, and open a page so you can start reading it. A time where you can probably come closer to God. But most importantly, think about during that week how you will feel when a loved one has passed away, because that is the emotion that should be building inside of you. If somebody has experienced somebody close who they loved and has passed away, you will realize that during that time you had no appetite, you probably had a lack of sleep, and even so, you wanted to know why. For this reason, the Church tries to say, think about somebody, a loved one who has passed away, and try and put yourself in that position, because Jesus, who loves you, has died for you. For this reason, whenever I used to sort of celebrate Easter as a young kid, My mom always used to buy us a brand new outfit. Το κουστούμι που θα φορέσεις το Πάσχα. The outfit, you know, you can't touch it until Ανάσταση βράδυ και να κρατάς το κερί εκεί έξω, να πέσει πάνω στον άλλο, όχι πάνω σε σένα. For this reason, we wear a new outfit because it is a new beginning for resurrection. I remember my mother, for the whole of Holy Week, where we should try and sort of be somber, she killed herself cleaning the house. She used to make me pull out the cortinas, you know, and put them in the bathtub, and then we had to turn them and put them up. She wanted to start. For this reason, we should make our resolutions on Anastasi and not on New Year's Eve. Because if we want to walk with Christ and be with Christ, our religious resolutions should start with Anastasi. So, when the priest comes out from the dark church with the candle and sort of says, come receive the light, he is virtually inviting us to come to a new start, to come and sort of get a new hope and feeling, to come and receive a new life that I can be a part of. For this reason, when Christ came and sacrificed himself, how do we refer him to? As the lamb being sacrificed. What do we celebrate after Anastasi? A lamb on the spit. So each thing that we do as a customary tradition within our church, it has got something to reframe back. So, the past becomes present. We try and sort of see ourselves in that mind. But the greatest thing about our church is the flexibility. The flexibility that the other churches in the Western do not have when they celebrate Easter. First of all, we have that essence of mystery, of Christ, of God, of what is the meaning of death and resurrection, the hope. But then again, we have the feeling that in this church, we make it comfortable and make it feel like at home. What do I mean by this? A lot of faithful express themselves openly during Holy Week. You'll probably see a ya in the front pew crying. Or when a priest comes out the Saturday morning and throws the bay leaves, another one smashing the chairs down. When the priest says, Anasta o Theos, some person will grab probably the pews and start knocking them down. The first time it happened to me, it really woke me up at 5 o'clock in the morning. For this reason, it symbolized when Christ banged on the door of things, he felt that he had to bang that seat to sort of say that death is being crushed. We've even had disappointing times a few years ago where with the proclaiming of Christ is risen, somebody let off a crack and sort of took out somebody else's eye, which is a sad thing. But that expression that comes out from the individual should be an expression that he makes himself feel at home. The mere fact that even after Christos Anesti, the priest is continuing the service, but there is no quietness in the church. There is that joy of happiness, of greeting, of expressing to one another, Christos Anesti, you try finding that love and share within another institution or in another religion. You try and get that 3,000 people together and it's saying to one another, Christos Anesti. The mere fact that an individual will come to church with a candle and an egg in his pocket and crack it with a complete stranger outside the church. Think about other things that people bring. I mentioned about the flowers for Megalia Paraskevi. When we set up to do the epitaphio in every church, it is not the priest who decorates it, but it's the individual that come to the church and decorate it. Most of the time, it's women fighting amongst themselves what colour they should put on the epitaphio. The people who bring the bread of offering, because at this day, there's going to be thousands of people coming for communion, and it's my bread that I bring from outside, that I commemorate a loved one with, that is going to be consecrated as a body of Christ. I also bring a bottle of Gumandaria, so it can become the blood of Christ, where thousands of people are going to receive from the one cup. We take communion from that one cup. a whole community comes to commune from one chalice. And in that chalice, that bread and wine is not mine, but an actual individual that has brought it. The lighting of the candelilla, the oil that goes in there, it is an individual that brings there. Therefore, this is a person who has expressed their wish, tried to live Easter in their own way. So when we come to church, and during the beginning of the church service, and when Easter starts from the eve of Palm Sunday night, we will always see the church in complete darkness. This does not mean that I want to be stingy with the electricity bill. This is because we are going in a time of darkness, that we are in turmoil. Think about the people before Jesus. What hope did they have about death? What did they know about death? They would not know about heaven. They would not know about resurrection. But they only kept their faith in a hope and dream that a Messiah will come to save them. For this reason, the death, the darkness that the church sort of starts at the beginning of Holy Week is a symbol that at the end, when we receive the light of life, that it will symbolize to us that life is stronger than death. That love, the greeting of people between one another stranger, is stronger than hatred. That new life will bring a new resolution into my life. Christ changed history, and there's no doubt about it. He changed it from coming back from the dead and giving us a share of it. For this, we got to thank Christ for one thing, our freedom. We are now free. We are free in a way that we can choose which way to go. Would I individually go and learn about Christ, or would I actually don't bother about it? If we don't bother about it, he won't hate us because he loves us. Therefore, whatever time we decide to turn around to him, he will be there for us. Therefore, we must remember one thing, that Christ is stronger than anything else that exists. He is love and goodwill. A person that when he was born, all he had around him was a shroud. And when he had died on the cross, all he had around him was a shroud. Therefore, we come into the world with nothing, and we leave out of this world with nothing. But we can prepare ourselves. So we prepare ourselves with Palm Sunday, which is the beginning of Holy Week. Palm Sunday, the church tends to be decorated with palm trees around. Some churches, even people can make little donkeys between the palms. And at the end, we all receive a palm. But let's see Jesus in this aspect. And let's try and see ourselves in this aspect. When Jesus walked, or he rode into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey, he was actually proclaimed as a king. Back in those days, if you were an emperor and you went to conquer somebody else's land, whenever you came back, they used to hail you in as a hero. They used to throw flowers at you. They used to shout, "Hail Caesar," or whatever it was at that time. That same entry Jesus makes into Jerusalem, because he is about to open the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, the prophecy of Zacharias is fulfilled, that the Messiah will come into Jerusalem like any great warrior will be received. They received him with joyfully, and everybody from Jerusalem ran out and was screaming, "Hosanna, blessed be him who comes in the name of the Lord," waving palms and putting their jackets in front of him. And all the people from Jerusalem just ran and welcomed him as a king, because he brought Lazarus back from the dead. Big thing. But the same people who hailed him as a king, in 3 days are going to say, crucify him, crucify him. That's what you call good friends. 3 days it took them to change their minds on the one person they hailed as a king. Have we ever been in that situation? Have we ever been in a situation where everybody loves us in the office and we do something good and then we get knives thrown in the back of us? Put yourself in that situation. Jesus brings somebody from the dead. We tend to do something spectacular, where people will sort of admire it, but yet you'll have your skeptics and your critics where they'll only probably say it's a fluke, it's because you sort of play golf with the boss or whatever it is, and they sort of just throw the knife in your back. Therefore, Jesus is hailed as a king. We come and we hail him as a king by taking the palm and accepting it. A palm that sometimes it's very hard to find. But we receive it because we are going to walk with him. We are going to take those steps that he took to Jerusalem. And we look at ourselves. For this reason, that night, from a joyous and happy service that is Palm Sunday, the church changes moods. All of a sudden, the colours of the church become, as Father Chris has got, purple. The priests sort of wear a more of a dark symbolising colour during the service. Because that evening, and for the next 3 nights, we celebrate the service of the bridegroom. Now, the bridegroom happens to be Christ, but he's not dressed up like any other bridegroom. Matter of fact, it's an icon and he's got thorns on his head with blood coming down. In other words, boys, whenever you get married, that's what a bridegroom looks like. For this reason, we bring the icon out, place it in the middle. If Christ is the bridegroom, who is the bride? That's us, his church, you. And what does a bride do for her wedding? She prepares herself. She calls her hairdresser. She buys $2,000 shoes. She makes sure the cars are ready. She makes sure her mum looks good so they can take photos together. And on the day, she makes sure that she steps on the bride's foot before he does it. For this reason, us, we have to prepare ourselves. How do we prepare ourselves? We cleanse ourselves, both physically and mentally. We make sure we have to put ourselves in a position that, are we ready to accept our bride? On the Monday night, the gospel reading is about 10 virgins. 5 of them were smart and they had lamps. But with their lamps, they had oil. The other 5 didn't buy any oil. Well, in this case, because it was the good old days, the bridegroom used to go around and pick up the bride, rather than the bridegroom waiting for the bride at the church. He was late. That's why I call it the good old days. Because he was late, they fell asleep. At midnight, he decided to rock up. He happens to be Christ. Those who had oil could refill their lamps and go to the wedding. Those who didn't have oil had to go buy some oil because their lamp was about to go out. So they left the house to go buy oil. So the bridegroom only took 5 brides out of 10 to the wedding. What this meant is that we don't know when our time's going to come. Although we can prepare ourselves this year for Holy Week, probably prepare ourselves next year, we don't know when our time is going to come that we're going to celebrate our wedding. What is our wedding? The one that we do here? No. Our wedding when we become united with Christ, when we passed away. Therefore, we must be prepared. We must prepare ourselves that no matter what time he comes, that we can go with him and we can sort of have our love and be ready for Christ when he comes to take us. Sometimes we prepare ourselves many times and yet we don't have no fruits out of it. Yeah, I fasted for 40 days, but just lost a few kilos. That's about it. I didn't get anything spiritual out of it. One element is the fasting, but there's so much more you can do. It is like he just had the lamp, but he had no oil. If we fast from the meats and dairy product, bravo. But that's one element of such a big element of what is to be prepared. For this reason, we look onto the gospel reading on the next night, which actually commemorates a sinful woman, a prostitute. Holy Week, we celebrate a prostitute. Who she comes in and wipes Jesus' feet, and with her tears, she wets them and she dries them up with her hair. She even goes and kisses his feet. A sacrament of love. She shows an absolute sacrament of love there. A lady who was probably ready to be stoned, a lady who would have been killed if she was caught in the act, but she goes and presents herself and kisses his feet. Because she knows that A, he is somebody who expresses love in the correct way. B, that she is of salvation. And C, she has realized who she is and turns towards him. For this reason, she washes Jesus' feet and asks through her actual act of forgiveness. With her tears, she wets his feet and then she kisses them. Kissing his feet puts a big element, those two things, the washing and the kissing. Because what happens the night after that is that we have a niptira service where Jesus washed the feet of his disciples, which I'll get to just a little bit. But even her kiss was a kiss of love because he accepted her. Even Judas, who betrayed Jesus, kissed him. But when Judas kissed Jesus, was that a kiss of love? For this reason, the mere act of somebody expressing towards them is what type of an expression is it? We tend to kill ourselves for other people. Jesus gave his life for Judas and showed everything to Judas. He washed the feet of the person who was going to betray him. He didn't skip him. He washed his feet. It wasn't like, you bastard, I know what you're going to do in a couple of days. I'm not going to wash your feet. He washed his feet. He accepted who Judas was. But yet Judas turned around to him. His is the lady who comes to Jesus knowing that her background is the worst background you can get. And because Jesus accepts her no matter who she is, she washes his feet and cleanses him so she can be cleansed inside of herself as well. And kisses him because it is actual love that bonds between them. He accepts her for what she is. She cleansed herself and she became clean. For this reason, on the Wednesday night, the church prepares its faithful to be cleansed, both spiritually and bodily. For this reason, we have the sacrament of Holy Unction. Holy Unction is where we all receive the oil on our foreheads. It allows us to be cleansed. It is not a substitute for confession. A lot of people have got it in their mind that Holy Unction, if I receive Holy Unction, means that I am cleansed, I don't need to go to confession. Wrong. Holy Unction is there in a way of a tablet or a medicine that enables us to be cleansed. But we still have to work on it to be much more cleansed. We must try and go to confession during this time to sort of do a reflection of who we are. Therefore, we receive Holy Unction as a cleansing. A lot of people tend to do, and it's a sacrament that can happen in your own house. It is a sacrament where the church can come to you. For this reason, people cleanse themselves spiritually. By cleansing ourselves, we have that meaning for the whole for the next 3 days, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And the gospel readings have actually helped us with it. And then we come to the great Thursday. Thursday morning is one of the greatest services in my own personal mind, because it is the service that gives us the greatest sacrament. The greatest sacrament in our church, although all sacraments are equal, but I put this above from everything else, is the body and blood of Christ. When we receive the body and blood of Christ, the priest says, the servant of God. Who? Peter. You say your name. So it is an individual thing. Servant of God, Peter. The servant of God, Nick, is receiving the body and blood of Christ for the forgiveness of sins. For this reason, Thursday morning, two great events happen. Jesus washes and cleanses his disciples. At the same time when he cleanses them, he breaks and offers them the first Eucharistic meal or service to his disciples. He takes the bread and breaks it and sort of says, you'll be doing this as a communion in remembrance of me. For this reason, in our church, it is the most highest sacrament element. Therefore, we are very strict when it comes to communion. We don't allow non-Orthodox people to receive communion. We do not allow anybody just coming in. Mainly when somebody comes in and I sort of get the woof of bacon and eggs from McDonald's coming into my face, I sort of tend to ask them, have you fasted yourself? Or when they just come in with their hands in their pocket like that, I sort of say, are you ready to receive communion? Although we shouldn't be asking at that stage, we should leave it to God to be the one, we must remember what we are accepting here. For 2008 years, the world has seen many plagues. The world has gone through many disasters. Communion has always been the same. And yet, this is a mystery of the church that we cannot explain. Yet, we see it as bread and wine that people have contribute, but yet by the grace of the Holy Spirit it has turned into the body and blood of Christ, which allows us forgiveness of sins, unite ourselves with Christ, and be united to become a new person, and also Christ being inside of us. What does this mean? If you invite me over to your house, I'll say to you, I can't make it. I'll come another time. Then you invite me again. Can't make it. Another time. You invite me a third time, and I refuse to come. That shows to you an element that I don't like you, or I can't be bothered coming to your house. Jesus invites us at every liturgy to come and come into his world. When the priest holds the chalice there, it is Jesus inviting you. Not myself, not Father Chris. It is Jesus inviting himself that you be a part of him. Therefore, when we go visit somebody, and being Greeks, we always tend to take a few presents with us and food and elements of whatever other else we want to celebrate with that person. Therefore, he invites us. Come to me. Come visit me. Come, receive me. It is the last sacrament that somebody, it is the first sacrament after baptism. To conclude baptism, it is the first sacrament a child gets, and most of the time, it is, if we make it on time, it is the last sacrament that somebody gets before they leave this world. Jesus. They get Jesus. They don't get krasaki and psumaki. They get Jesus. There in the flesh. Therefore, what is in front of you is an absolute mystery. Therefore, we have to look at ourselves from the beginning of Holy Week to sort of say, am I ready to receive him? Am I going to prepare with him? Because you can't bargain with him. You can't bring a galactomburico and say, Jesus, I made this for you. I'll be happy and I'll accept it, but he wants you to be ready for it. For this reason, the Thursday morning for me is one of the greatest services, but it's also one of the services where we only have a few people that come to church. It is where the Eucharist was made. It is where communion was first formed. But yet people don't put an element to that. When they come in, they sort of say, I've got a kinonisi. Yeah, good. Why? Oh, it's Easter. Bravo, you know, 10 points. But why do you want a kinonisi? I'm devere pater. It's not a multiple choice. I've got to go to work. When we receive Christ inside of us, we must remember, we've just taken the body and blood of Christ inside of us. Are we going to go and kill ourselves at work? Are we going to go end up and after a few hours swear at the boss because he won't give us Friday or Monday off? Remember, take the day off. Pull a sickie. We have a doctor here. She'll be more than happy to sign certificates. Take that time. Accept Christ inside of you and say, today I'm just going to do it for Christ. He died on the cross for me. I'm going to look after myself because I've taken inside of me. I'm going to read a Bible until I fall asleep. And that will be after the first paragraph. But you do it for Christ. Therefore, when you receive that communion, you don't come in a hurry. Light the candle, run up, receive. I can make the train and dash out outside for the train. Because heaven forbid, when we receive communion, we've got to look after ourselves. This is why whenever we were little, our mothers used to say, do not spit, try not to cut yourself, and don't do any work. In Greece, during Holy Week, most businesses closed down. Well, nearly every yorti they closed down. But they know what they're celebrating. Let's take this time to figure out what's happening here. We're not celebrating Jesus' life. We're going to celebrate my life during Holy Week. I'm going to celebrate my life. Why does it end up to my life? Because I'm going to be a part of it. The Thursday night comes along. We have 12 gospel readings, the life of Jesus. And during those gospel readings, most of them start to kero ekino, during that time, at that time. But when we bring Christ out, it is today he's been crucified. Therefore, when Christ is standing here, I've got to look at a mirror. I've got to look around what passions I went through life. Probably got rejected by a few girls, didn't get a few jobs that I wanted, ended up in the priesthood, but this is who I am. Quite happy where I am right now, but this is who I am. And I look at my struggles. I look at my temptations. I see what I'm wrong, and I see myself going what Christ has gone through. Therefore, when Friday morning comes around, when they stolisi the epitaphio, and when we put Christ in the tomb, we're going not to his funeral service, but I'm going to my funeral service. Because he died and he resurrected. What's going to happen to me? Am I going to resurrect? And this is where we have to put the emphasis on me at this stage. Because every time we come on Good Friday and we meet our friends outside the church or inside the church, or we try to sort of figure out where the psalty is and flip through our little black book and sort of say he skipped the line, that reason we have to sort of say, where am I at? We come, we venerate the epitaphio. The epitaphio leaves the church. We walk behind the epitaphio. Why do we walk behind it? Because I'm walking to death. I'm walking to death with Christ. For this reason, a lot of people want to go under the epitaphio because I'll be going into the grave, but I'll be waiting to resurrect as well. For this reason, after Good Friday, you tend to get a somber mood. It starts to lift. The hymns tend to change on the Saturday morning. People come and receive, majority of the people, may I add, come on the Saturday morning to receive communion. Because what do we celebrate on that Saturday morning? Christ destroying death. Christ going into Hades, where he knocked down the door, preach to all those old prophets, to even John the Baptist, to Adam and Eve, that he has came to save them from this hellhole. And they were literally in the hellhole. For this reason, he comes to save them. For this reason, majority of the people unconsciously come to the Saturday morning communion, because it represents the life after death. For this reason, we throw the bay leaves. We start changing our colours in the church. From that purple or dark colours, we start putting up brighter colours. From having the holy table covered, we change it into a white thing. So we start getting ourselves ready. We go to the market to buy our ni and not a fat pig. We have make sure the eggs are ready and dyed. So we prepare ourselves for Christ, for the greatest event that I want to be a part of, his resurrection. So we arrive to the church on Anastasi Vradi, and the priest comes out with just one candle lit. And with that one candle that the priest, or two priests in my case, or the bishop over here, when he comes out, thousands of candles will be lit up until outside the street from one candle, from one source of light, from one source of life, a new beginning, a new start for me, a new start that we resurrect. And when we go outside and the priest proclaims Christ is risen, not Christ has risen, he is and has been, he is. When he proclaims Christ is risen, he doesn't proclaim to us that Christ is risen. We already know that Christ has risen. He proclaims it to who? To the devil. Because Christ is risen from the dead. Continue on. Trampling down on death. Who was in charge of death? The devil. Sin was brought about through death. Therefore, he trampled down on him. Therefore, we say, Christ is risen from the dead. Therefore, I will beg you not to leave the church then, because we're saying to the devil that he has been destroyed. And when people leave, it is like saying, them too have been destroyed. Let us not leave at that stage. Let us celebrate our resurrection. Let us prepare ourselves so when our time comes, when our death comes, whenever it might be, we must be prepared. We don't know when it is. Let us be prepared that we can also say, not Christos Anesti, αλλά ο Κώστας αναστήθηκε. We will be the only ones who will know, because we will be the ones living that passion. So when my mom said to me when I was very young, ότι ο Χριστούλης επέθανε και αναστήθηκε, she was absolutely right. Because he did. And he did it for me. Take a look of what Easter is. It is an individual act. It is a selfish act of God himself for us. Therefore, let us try and give a week to him. And let us not look the life of Christ, but let us try and look at our life and how we can be a part of it, so we too can have our own resurrection. Like I said at the beginning, it is abroad. I could have just spoke about Christ, but I wanted you to take something from here, and I want you to try and look at your own selves. Any questions?
Father, you made a comment regards to lamb on Easter Sunday.
Yep.
Sorry, you elaborate.
Yep. We sometimes refer to Christ as the sacrificial lamb, or amnos. The reason why Jesus came onto the earth was A, to show us about salvation, and B, to save us. Therefore, he was brought to the slaughter as a lamb is brought to the slaughter as well. He died for us. Therefore, he was the lamb who took on the sins of the world. And many times whenever you read the Bible, and you'll also probably heard the phrase of the good shepherd that refers to Jesus. For this reason, because he was that sacrificial lamb, and the church has always used Christ, and the main thing that whenever we do the body and blood of Christ, the thing that we put in the middle, which symbolizes him, we call the amno. You translate amno, it means the lamb, the sacrificial lamb. Therefore, he is the Lamb who came, crucified himself, so we can be saved. Therefore, when we celebrate Easter, we always celebrate with Lamb, to sort of say that it was that Lamb who came to save us. We celebrate, and during that time, we always say Christos Anesti to our relatives, because that Lamb has saved us, so we can go into the kingdom of heaven. For that reason, we have the lamb on the spit, or a few lamb chops, as Sam Kekovich says. That's about it. I'll just put a point. Most of the churches this year will be having these books that we'll be distributing. These are books that have been made by a certain individual, a doctor here, with a few other people who have contributed to it and helped them with the editing about Easter. It is an individual also aspect on it. When you see it at the church, for those of you, I will be distributing Mount Mooney Ponds for free. Please grab one and give it to somebody else on the Easter night that's at the church. It's just got on it. The greatest story of love ever told. It is a good book made here in Melbourne for us Melburnians. So whenever you go to the church, they should be handing them out, most churches. Therefore, feel free to grab a few and distribute them out on your behalf as well. So hopefully the real message of Easter can also get out to other people as well, rather than your reunion.
My question is have you mentioned that on Easter we have two resurrections, or two, actually, how can I say it? Dio Pascha, on Saturday morning and on the Sunday morning.
We actually have three Paschas. This is why I sort of didn't want to talk greatly. I could have put that aspect. The first resurrection is the resurrection of Lazarus on the Saturday morning. Jesus brings Lazarus back from the dead. In other words, God the Father is showing to Jesus, this is what's going to happen to you in a week's time. You're going to come back from the dead. The second resurrection is the resurrection we celebrate on the Saturday morning, where the priest throws the bay leaves throughout the church. The priest will chant Anastor Theos at that time. That's the first part where he sort of uses the frame Anastor. Anastasi, Anastor Theos. Because at this stage, it is when Jesus has gone into Hades to bring back the people who had died before him, such as Adam and Eve, the prophets, and so forth. Therefore, he has gone there to resurrect them. And the third resurrection is the Christos Anesti, where Jesus came back to earth and was for 40 days with his disciples and traveled around. Therefore, there are three elements of resurrection during Holy Week. The main focus for us is, of course, the last one, where it puts a great influence on us individuals so we can resurrect as well.
I just wanted to ask, with the force that the Papa brings out, what's that meant to represent, and why do we give it around to everyone else that's in the church?
Jesus says in the Bible that he is the light of the life, and through him there is only salvation. Furthermore, he says, I am life and the resurrection. Therefore, with the force that the priest brings out, when the church, on Anastasi Vradi, the church will be dark. All right? We wait for that light to come out, which symbolizes Jesus resurrection, that he is the light of the world. He is the one που θα μας φωτίσει. He will enlighten us. He will be the one who can, the only one who is able to enlighten us. Therefore, it is through this one light, through this one person, that enables us to be enlightened. Therefore, that one priest brings it us. And what we are literally doing is that we are passing Jesus around. We are passing him who is the light of life to the person next to us, person behind us, or trying to burn the lady's hair in front of us. And therefore, he is the one who will enlighten us throughout our life. That is the symbolization of that little light. If you ever have the chance to go to Jerusalem, they actually tend to get the light. We tend to get it at the back of each church. There's a candili called the Akimito, the one that sort of we keep open throughout the whole year, and we get it from there. Jerusalem being the holy city, they actually get it naturally from the sky. A great miracle that has happened. It is unexplained like that, but through faith, it has always came to the patriarch in Jerusalem. And for the first few moments, it doesn't burn at all. You can put your hand on top of the flame and it won't burn. Please do not try this at our churches this year. For this reason, you can try it only at Jerusalem when the actual light of Christ comes down there, which lights up his tomb, and the patriarch comes out and everybody receives it and fights amongst one another who will get it first. For this reason, a lot of people believe that if they're the first one to receive the light from the priest, they will sort of get goodwill, happiness in throughout the whole world. To be quite honest, Jesus is equal to all people. The person who comes first or to the person who comes last, he is equal to all, and that only if we want to accept him, he will always be there and give us goodwill throughout the whole year.
Just thinking, Fuzz, is that what that means by the force be with you?
May the force be with you.
Actually, somebody came from overseas last year, one of the people who attends the meetings every Wednesday night, and says that maybe she hasn't seen it, but the light, actually, when it comes first, it actually jumps from one candle to the next. Miraculously, and goes to the next person and the next person.
This is only in Jerusalem.
Yes,
where it actually happens. Some people have sort of said it actually came to people that are outside the church and lit up their candle. Sometimes it's got to do with the preparation of a person, pure of heart, understanding. Jesus will sort of come to them, but it does not mean that he won't come to everybody. This is something you have to experience for yourself. No matter whatever speaker will sit here and talk to you, it is something that you have to experience for yourself so you can sort of see that there is more to the faith than just coming to church, that it does exist. Any skeptic, I'll be more than happy to sort of send them to Jerusalem during Easter. And if they don't believe after that, I'll send them over to the West Bank.
The only reason I mention it is not because I don't believe it or I expect to see it for myself, but only just to say that the light actually, for whatever reason, jumps, I don't know, but it actually, how can it, you know, goes from one person to the other without actually touching the candles? That's what it explains, how the faith of each one, I guess.
It is a mystery of Pascha.
Exactly.
That's why.
Well, the doctor that he actually made that book is from our church, and he's over there now to celebrate Easter.
So hopefully the second edition, he will have some more personal experiences. Bravo to Dr. Brian. Anyone else? Oh, yes.
Father, I might be going back to basics here, but this is a question that has troubled me for a while.
By all means.
I'd like for you to explain a little bit about what is the Orthodox Church's what is our teaching on why Christ came to die? Why did he come at all and to die for us?
Okay. Basic teaching. All right. Christology 101, very basic. When Adam and Eve were expelled from paradise, okay, we're going way back. We're going Genesis now. When Adam and Eve were expelled from paradise, we had the hard life. Okay? For this reason, we came into a world of sin, pain, mourning, suffering. These were things that we started to experience and we still experience today. Therefore, the devil took control of the world. Every person in the Old Testament up until the time of Jesus, except for Moses, Enoch, and Elijah, who the three of them ascended into heaven, they did not die, but everybody else during that time, when they died, they ended up in hell, in Hades. Therefore, God, who is all love and saw his creation being destroyed, tried to make a pact with the devil. The devil asked for his blood. Therefore, he sent his son to take the form of a man, as a human being, to teach about life after, and by him being crucified, may hell be destroyed, that people can go straight into the kingdom of heaven. This is why whenever you see the icon of the resurrection, Jesus is in the middle holding Adam and Eve coming out of the tomb. He is allowing them to be resurrected. For this reason, we have now freedom. We have freedom to choose where we want to go, upstairs or downstairs. And this is something God doesn't premeditate, but leaves it to us to choose which way we want to follow. We know the way for upstairs, and there's a way for downstairs. Therefore, now today, although Jesus came and conquered death, which means he destroyed Hades in a way that he took the people that wanted to come with him, and now he can take whoever wants to go to him. Whoever wants to go to him. He doesn't say, I'm going to take you, 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 and you to heaven, the rest of you just can go to hell. He doesn't say that. But he leaves it to us, where we want to go. How are we going to choose our life to live? And this is the whole process of theosis. So for this reason, when Jesus came and was crucified, he came to destroy death, which was hell virtually, and to allow us who are alive now, a chance to go straight to heaven. Is that clear? Or did I confuse you more?
No, it's not confusing. It's just that there's lots of other...
I think I confused myself somewhere.
There's so many other teachings that import other beliefs into why he came. Things like penal substitution and God, a vengeful God that, you know, needed blood, needed a sacrifice. And you know, for me, it's always been a question of, well, where does the Orthodox Church stand?
Stand right there. Have you ever heard of the Seventh-day Adventist Church,
yes.
The Mormons?
Yeah, of course.
They're a group of boys, clean-cut, and they tend to sit in Bourke Street preaching. If they ever approach you, just ask them, when Jesus was crucified, where did he go? If you read the scriptures, it says it goes, he went to Hades. If you ask the Seventh-day Adventists, do you know what they say? He went to America, and he went to Utah and planted the Book of Mormon. Don't laugh, it's true. No, I ask you, whenever you're in Bourke Street and you see them there, ask them. He went to America. Now, if America represents Hades, I'll accept that. Each person and each denomination, which is a man-made one, has their own belief and teaching. Have you ever heard of the Jehovah's Witnesses? Apparently, with the Jehovah's Witnesses, the second coming has already happened. Okay? And that Jesus is here, invisible. Okay? But if you read the scriptures, it sort of says he will come back, not invisible, but visible. So, what each person teaches, and where a lot of, because a lot of time it's very easy to sort of see something that looks attractive to follow and sort of say this is a correct teaching, to what is really actually written in the scriptures. For this reason, we have to be careful. Jesus came and taught many things. Okay? He taught us about baptism. He got baptized. He taught us about the Eucharist. He came to the apostles and gave them the gift of the Holy Spirit and sort of and gave them the sacrament of confession. He physically went to the wedding of Cana to show that the wedding is honourable. So these things that the church does, we take it from the scripture. When we do the divine liturgy, it is not exactly how it's written in the scripture, but each part, I can guarantee you, we can show you from the scripture. Therefore, the teaching of Christ when he came in that small period of time, he taught us a lot. His main aim was to save us and to show his love for us. Yes, he done that. He accepted. Now, he is the great liberator of all time. He accepted the sinful woman. He accepted, you know, the people who had leprosy. He went to the person and sort of showed us that where man came from. Great debate today is, was man evolved from an ape or was he made from the mud that Genesis talks about? When Jesus went to the blind man at the well, he spat on the ground and made mud, wiped the mud on his eyes and told him to go wash it. When his disciples asked him, is he blind because of his parents' sins? Is he blind because somebody else faltered beforehand? He said, no, I came to finish off what my father started. I came to finish off what my father started. What did his father start? He made man out of dust. He forgot to put a set of eyes on this blind person. Jesus came to show that, yes, we're made out of chomer. When we die, we go into the ground and we just sort of evolved back into the ground from what we came from. Therefore, whatever we teach and sort of preach in the church is taken from those, sometimes those 3 years that Jesus stayed with us. And therefore, it does teach a lot and it does give us a great insight of who God is. But one thing remember, his main aim, and always remember that God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit is more than just the Bible. They're also beyond that. But what the Bible is, enough to prove who he is and how we can get to him. So for that reason, try when people sort of say to you, but this is what the meaning of Easter is about, or this is what Christ is really about. Tell them to show you in your Bible. If you've got an Orthodox study Bible, you can go straight away to it, refer to it, or if not, you're more than welcome to visit a priest to sit down and sort of show you where we come from as a church as well. So be careful with what people sort of come up to you. Sometimes it looks so attractive, it's better than, you know, sometimes people have made God that they're, as human beings, God works for us, not us trying to get to God. So for that way, we have to be very careful and conscious about what we sort of accept and always do what Paul says, St. Paul says, study the scriptures. Don't be a faith where it's just blindly.
No, just can I just make a point? I just wanted to say something that came to mind. Just something that's in the booklet as well about the Orthodox Church is it's the, obviously you've probably heard this before, it's the only church that has not changed in 2,000 years. It's the only one where no individual makes any decisions. It's all ecumenical councils, holy synod, holy fathers, divinely inspired, divinely guided. No one person gets up and says, oh, I think I've got a bright new interpretation to the Bible. Every other denomination does that. The Catholic Church with their Immaculate Conception dogma, with the filioque, with all these changes that they've made because someone woke up and went, oh, I think I've got a bright new idea, just off the, you know, their own mind. And the other thing is that the main thing that the Orthodox Church has that a lot of the others don't is the Holy Trinity. So if the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are three persons of the one essence, why would God ever need a blood sacrifice from his own self? Do you know what I mean? When you go back to the original doctrines, then it really, a lot of the stuff that the other churches say just don't make sense.
there's no other questions, I'll hang around for another 15 minutes at the back if you want to hassle me there. Otherwise, you can hassle us any other times. Like I said, Holy Week, if you see these at the churches and they're distributing, please feel free to grab a few and distribute them out yourself to people. And another good read is a book on Holy Week. It's got all the services inside of it, but most importantly, it's sort of, you can sort of relate to it more. You could probably understand it more clearly and probably will have a better understanding of our role within Holy Week as well. From my behalf, I wish you all a blessed Easter. May the resurrection of the Lord be with you all. And may we celebrate it with peace and happiness and with great fun with the Lamb on the Spit afterwards. Through the prayers of the Holy Father, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy upon us and save us. Amen. Kalianastasi.